This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and that is a lie today, big voice man, as we are actually live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine, and we have a lot of great fans here today, but we have, we have one particularly special guest today. It is Alexander, who is celebrating his fifth birthday today at Buffalo Wild Wings. Hanging out with the KNC Masterpiece. He wasn't too good for us like Bobby is, just at home sleeping. Alexander made the commitment to come and see us today. I like it.
Yeah, I do like that, too. Get that kid a cake.
Or I think it's Derek Jeter's birthday, too. He shares Derek Jeter's birthday.
Yeah.
So guess what, Alexander? Are you responsible for the most overrated play in baseball history? No? Then guess what? You are better.
Alexander, are you just a guy on a really good team?
Okay, I won't go that far. It's just the one particular play when I was like, the ball was going to get there in time anyway. Like, your little flip didn't add anything
Michael
to
Young
it.
Could have been just as good.
Wow.
Should have got 1,000 more hits then.
Well, I mean, if he had, you know, protection all up and down the lineup the same way that Derek did. That being said, would you go against Michael Young on that? Would you say that he couldn't do it?
Yeah, I'd tell him right to his face.
I know.
I'd say, Michael, great player. You're not Derek Jeter and never were Derek Jeter.
I feel like in that moment he'd probably be like, fair, not screw you, you're dead to me.
He knows Derek Jeter was better than him.
Okay, all right. Yeah. What do you think about that, Corey?
I didn't hear it from Michael Young. I only heard it from Michael Bassett.
Fair point.
Who I trust a lot.
We'll have Michael Young on another time in his life. You can ask. Say, were you as good as Derek Jeter?
That's the first question, because depending on how he answers it, that could pivot the interview quite a bit. You know what, Corey? I'm glad you asked me that. You're damn right I was as good as Derek Jeter. And then we're like, here we go.
Oh, right. Man.
And I'll call him Derek.
All right.
Holland. I don't have
I don't know if I don't have Jeter's contact yet.
Today's game is game 81 for the Texas Rangers, which you can hear right here on 105.3 The Fan, which means that's the halfway point of the season. I know we're not quite to the All-Star break, but when we do get to the All-Star break, you can hear the Home Run Derby and the All-Star game again right here on 105.3 The Fan. I saw some mid-season grades from CBS Sports, and I wanted to pick y'all's brain about specifically what do you think should be the mid-season grade for the Rangers? Like, what would you give them right now?
Okay, hold on. Am I taking this team as this season alone, or am I taking this team as my expectation was they were a World Series champion? Because right now it's an F compared to being World Series champions. They're not having competitive at-bats. They're not scoring. Dude, their runs scored last year were fantastic. You could count on them to pick up runs when they needed to pick up runs. And this year it's flopped where pitching has been their strong suit. So right now they're not living up to being a World Series champion, Kevin. And I want them to. I hope they can. I hope they can turn that around. But right now it is a failure of a season for this season specifically. All right? Not the Bruce Bochy era by any means, or, you know, the Corey Seager era. This season right now, they're failing what they're trying to accomplish.
Corey, I hear what you're saying, but I totally agree.
Oh, man.
I'd like to respond in a positive way for what the Rangers have done this year. This year, overall, we can get specific on groups. We can get specific on certain players. But overall, the Texas Rangers deserve a failing grade for 80 games into the season.
Their defense is not what it was last year by
any
means.
That's for damn sure.
Their bats, they aren't doing competitive at-bats by any means. And, Kevin, I mean, there are a lot of question marks.
They're tied for the eighth worst record in all of baseball.
There are a lot of questions. Not on I don't know if it's time for this. When it comes to Corey Seager's bat, I don't have a lot of question marks there. But is the future of him still at the position that he's at for the rest of his career? Or do we have to start thinking something differently for him in the future?
Look, I love Corey Seager. I'm so glad he's here. I'm so glad he wants the World Series. But there's no way. The rest of his career, I don't know what the exact timeline is, but there's no way I think he should be a shortstop for the rest of this contract. That's just me. People might be like, well, now you're an idiot.
And that being said, Kevin, he's paid. You know, he's paid very handsomely. He's won a World Series here. He can, Mike, we talk about this all the time. He's a hero here for the rest of his life. He'll eat free here forever. But his defense, his body size, his body type, the fact that you're struggling at a certain position across the field from him there a little bit defensively, and maybe you could replace that bat and supplement it, maybe there is a future for that as well somewhere down the road. But that's not for this discussion today. And I don't think you're going to convince Corey Seager today that that needs to be happening or that he needs to take a move this year. But that is something we have to start considering for the future and maybe for future building of this team and what you want it to look like. Because our bats, Kevin, his bat's good. But is he going to be that kind of shortstop for the rest of his career? Probably not. Age catches up with you, man. It happens.
Look, I am really surprised by y'all's grades, but I shouldn't be. Because I was even like trying to be positive, and I said a D+. Well, guess what? CBS Sports handed out three Fs. One to the White Sox, sure. One to the Blue Jays, I get that too.
We're only a half game better than
them. Yes, yes, and they have been colossally disappointed. And then the other one goes to the Texas Rangers.
Really?
Yeah, here's the little blurb. A banged-up rotation and surprisingly middling offense have undermined the defending World Series champions thus far. That rotation is starting to get healthier, and that could prompt a run soon enough. For now, though, the Rangers qualify as a surprising flop in 2024.
Wow. First off, the word I created, middling, last year is now starting to really make a surge. Yeah. Are you proud of that?
Yes, I am.
It's almost
very
as good
so.
As go get Rangers. But the secondly,
don't laugh at that.
the fact that like nationally they're looking at it the same way. I mean, locally here I'm being tough on them because I expect so much more. But nationally, for the power rankings, Kevin, everybody's kind of been giving them the benefit of the doubt, being like, oh yeah, they'll turn it on at some point. But the fact that they haven't as of yet is, I mean, it's falling across the country there. You just saw that there.
Here's the tough part that I have with it, Mike. I appreciate all the feedback that we're getting right now. From the 817, with all the injuries to the lineup and the pitching staff, I would say they're at a B-. Here's the issue where I run into with that. The injuries, some of the primary issues that you've had, Wyatt Langford. Well, you can project all you like, but you hadn't seen him do anything at the big league level. Same with Evan Carter. I still think Evan Carter is going to be awesome, but you'd seen him play all of, what, 35 games in his entire big league career? Mm-hmm. And then the other one is Josh Jung. It stinks, but Josh Jung has gotten hurt a lot. So I don't know if I can give them too much leeway on the offensive side. And the pitching has been fine. Like, with all of the injuries, I can't say that our pitching staff would be so much better to pull you out of this hole, because it's the offense that's been struggling so much. To me, I appreciate what they're saying. A B minus is too high. But then you get this from the 469. They get a big old fat F. From the 817, they're not good enough to get a D, maybe not bad enough to get an F, so I'll give them an E. So we'll even add a grade for
there. Yeah, D minus.
Yeah, but there you go. So a D minus, and the only positive one you kind of see is the B minus, but then there's a D minus, D plus, F, F.
If we break it down, do you want to break it down into kind of position categories?
Sure.
Offensively, I give it an F minus.
I give them an F for sure.
Like, it's I can't believe the expectation. Now, if you have the Oakland Athletics roster, I'd give, like, the Oakland Athletics, yeah, it's an F offense. But I look at their names, and I'm like, what did you expect? That's an F offense on a piece of paper, and they're living up to their piece of paper. When you look at the lineup of the Rangers, even without Josh Jung, this should not be one of the worst offenses in baseball. This should be still a slightly above average offense. Marcus Semien, his OPS now for the year is almost under 700. It is at now 708. It is just dwindling more and more down as this season progresses. I look at Jonah Heim.
41 slump right now for Semien. 0 for 5 yesterday, like you said.
Yeah, and he had the bases loaded with two outs. I know the 8 and 9 hole didn't come through, but then he didn't come through. Jonah Heim right now, he has an OPS of 632. We released Jared Walsh, and he had a 637 OPS. Wow. Just to get, now I know different positions and Jonah Heim's history and everything like that, but he went from all-star to now I'm starting to wonder in the future, should he be, and this, I'm not basing this off of just 80 games and I'm going with this, but at the end of this year, do you look at Jonah Heim and go, do we need more of a 50-50 catcher with him?
So that he can have legs or,
I don't know, like
yeah.
His bat's just, it's not the same right now.
And so he had a career year last year. And then I think, man, and look, Jonah's not trying to do bad. He's trying to do great. But when they left him off the top 10 catchers list and we were mad, we should have been mad, but they were right.
Yeah, the way it looks now,
this,
for sure.
This year, for sure, yeah.
And so I know it was based off of last year, but you just look at it. And so I go, offensively, it's an F. That's the easy F. But I'll say this, starting pitching, A minus. That's the only reason you have 37 wins.
And we were terrified about our starting
pitching. And they're
the
ones that have
season.
The injuries. That's the injured part.
And I just wanted to throw this out there because I know this is a talking point for people. Look into it a little bit more. It's not as bad as you might think, because I continue to see people go, what did you expect? Bochy's teams are never good after they win the World Series. That's false. So the biggest,
they're just saying that without actually looking up any information.
The biggest example from 2012 to 2013, spot on. You went from 94 wins to 76. You took a huge drop. But look at the other two World Series. 2010, you win 92 games. You win the World Series. What happens next year? You win 86 games. And so in 2014, you won 88 games and you won the World Series. Next year, 84 games. Now, I realize people are going to be like, but they didn't even make the playoffs. And I'm not disputing that. But what I'm saying is two of those 3 years, they were still over 500.
I bet in this category, I bet one of those teams would have made it. I bet they were the first team
with
out.
The expanded playoffs. Yeah. Absolutely. And you're looking at a Baltimore series that it's not insane to think you could be 11 games under 500 at the end of this. And so you're talking about a team that they don't feel like, this Texas Rangers team does not feel like they're moving in the right direction. Now, that could change because you're like, hey, Scherzer's good to go again. Hey, Josh Jung got it figured out when he started doing some at-bats again on the side on Saturday. And all of a sudden, but just at this moment, you got swept by Milwaukee. Now you're going up against a Baltimore team that's awesome.
And guess who wants revenge?
Yes, that's a good
point.
They
were way better than the Rangers last year, without a doubt. I think even Rangers would tell you, yeah, Baltimore is more talented than us and better, but it didn't matter. For three games, we played better than them, and we moved on. So it doesn't matter they were better than us. They were. They have more talent. They had more talent last year in every category, but the Rangers played better in the three games that mattered, and that's how you move on in the playoffs. It doesn't matter if you're better or not. It matters if you play better on the games that then get you to the next round. They are going to want to kill the Rangers tonight and tomorrow. And Saturday and Sunday are nationally televised games. They are 50 and 30. Gunnar Henderson is arguably the best player in baseball. They are going to want to destroy the Rangers. If they come out and play like they've played the Rangers and they don't get the ball to Robertson and Yates, it could get really ugly these next four games.
The Kevin, you know, the other part of it, too, is I was asking Mike this question about those San Francisco teams and maybe this team specifically. It's a championship roster. Why do I want to change it that much, right? And the loyalty that comes along with you just won a championship
I
with those
guys.
I do get
that.
But here, Chris Young is in the mindset. You just heard him yesterday in the dugout. It's time. You know, we have to start proving that we're the same offense here and there because he has decisions to make. Decisions that go from what Mike's been discussing on, hey, am I a seller or a buyer? And also, like, which one of these guys? I'm starting to make a lot of decisions based on the way y'all are playing and the effort y'all are giving out there and the competitive at-bats that we have. When we said at the beginning of the season the standard changed, it doesn't look like the standard changed by any means. It looked like y'all went back to what the standard used to be.
Yeah.
And so you know how competitive he is. You know how frustrated he is with this. And we've seen Bochy, his emotions this year. Not that they've been wild and outrageous during games, but he sounds sad sometimes when he hops on with us, Kevin.
I'm just not
used to that.
I get that.
I'm gonna be honest here. I thought Bochy was insane when he was like, "I'm taking this job to win now." I was like, "You're insane."
Yeah.
And he won the freaking World Series.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, at the end of this year,
this is more what you thought it would look like?
Yeah, I thought they'd be over .500. I thought they'd be better than this is 8th worst record in baseball right now.
Yikes.
Is I look at it and I go, I wonder, I'm throwing this out there. There's half a season left. I wonder if Bochy's going to come back for next year.
Huh.
If he came back to compete and win.
Yeah.
And he saw the Rangers in a way that we didn't see them. Most of baseball did not see them as a competitive team. And he said, no, I can win with this group. They're going to win. And he went 40-20 to start the year. And they snuck into the playoffs. And then they played the best in October and won the World Series. If they lose 90 games or close to.
Yeah.
I don't know what the direction of the Rangers are going to be based off of the money they're going to want to spend in the offseason. Like, I don't know. It's something that Boach probably isn't thinking about at all today. But he might have to think about it in September and go, well, is this team good enough to compete in 2025? If, I'm throwing out ifs, we don't know. If it doesn't compete at all in 2024 and you have to unload talent to try to restock a little bit of the farm system, then does Boach want to come back for a little bit of possibly of a mini rebuild?
You know, Mike, I had not even considered that until just now.
Thanks a lot.
I appreciate the content, even when the content makes me sad. Yeah. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, text in things to cheer us up. But also, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine, the post-NBA Finals rankings of the top 100 players in the league. How many do the Mavs have, and have they earned the league's respect? Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
14 for Luka on the welcome call.
What is going on here?
He is on one tonight.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We are live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine. And what I've learned here today is not only is this the place to be for all the things that we talked about, the brews, the food, the TVs, this is apparently the birthday spot to be as, ladies and gentlemen, we have another birthday turning 13 years old today. Noah, it's his birthday, everybody. Happy birthday for Noah. And that's a great name. It's a great name.
There's two things I'd like to say here. A, he's wearing the Lucas mic. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh.
That's what he got for his birthday today.
He just took off his shoe and gave it to me. I like it. It's like a reverse Cinderella kind of thing.
You know what's interesting about those? We just played a Luka highlight, and he has Luka 2s on.
Yeah.
Luka stopped wearing 2s during the season. I don't know. I pay attention to these things. He went back to wearing his 1s quite a bit. In the playoffs, he wasn't wearing 2s. And I was wondering this, and I never brought it up on the show because we were kind of who cares. And I guess who cares now. But since we're in the offseason, I was wondering if Luka didn't really, over time, like the 2s, like the way they felt and liked the ones better.
Maybe so.
And then, because he was wearing ones primarily every playoff game, and I thought, I wonder if he wasn't a fan of the twos, like, over time, the way they felt.
The other thing I wanted to say about that, Kevin, is it is Thursday. It's not shout-out Friday.
Oh, did I?
And I've allowed this now twice.
Yeah, you're getting soft.
No.
For
if
kids.
You come see us, we allow.
Okay, okay, that's fair.
If you come see our faces, we allow shout-outs.
And just for the record, this is not my child, because people are like, hold on, how did this kid go from 1 to 13, and can Noah read yet? Yeah. I'm assuming Noah can read here.
I haven't watched it in decades, but that can happen on soap operas.
Mm. Okay.
Where you're like, wait, I thought that kid was 6.
That would be really stunned if that happened.
I also do know that this
Noah
came
sand through the hourglass was going through fast for that
was.
Kid.
He came to visit us one day at one of the other Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay.
And his dad helped him skip school. So maybe that's part
let's
of the...
go.
Yeah, didn't mean to call you out there, Dad, but that's good daddy
a different
right there. That's really
person
good
in a different district.
No, that's I give him a lot of credit for doing that.
All right, on the Mavs front, and I decided to compare them to an obvious team, the Celtics. And that's why I was fascinated by this. Now, Corey, part of the question you asked, and we're going to get to that, but if people want to start weighing in with your opinions, Twitch, YouTube, you can hit us up on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. Have the Mavs earned the league's respect? Now, I want to get to that in just a second. But first, top 100 players in the league. So the Ringer kind of does a ever-evolving list of top players in the league. And so they'll do updates throughout the playoffs and everything. And so this is their post-NBA Finals ranking of the top 100 players in the league. How many top 100 players do you think the Mavericks have?
2.
No, I'm going to say 3, maybe 4, but I'm going to go with 3. I think Derek Lively barely makes the top 100.
And I bet PJ probably.
And that's where PJ, I'm wondering, with his second half in the playoff run. So I'm leaning towards 3, and PJ just misses it, but I could see 4.
Savvy selection on the Lively front. He is the 3rd Mavericks player on the list at 97.
Okay.
And so they have 3 on the list. Where? Explain that look to me, Corey.
97?
Yeah.
Well, the look was that means there's not much room for PJ.
He did not make the cut.
So there aren't four. I was getting ready to go five, six. I don't know, Kevin. But wow, 97 for the way he played this year. I would expect a little bit higher, but maybe they're looking at him going, hey, give him time. It'll grow into something. And being on the top 100 is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, especially for a rookie. Yeah. Okay, where would you put Luka and where? I'm sorry. Where would you put the other two players, and who are they?
I'm guessing Luka's one of
them. You don't
have
to worry. You didn't give anything away.
Okay. Mike's going to be like, hold on, Luka.
Yeah.
Listen, man, Luka's performance.
Jaylen Brown's number one because he won the MVP.
He was really good.
Of both the Eastern Conference and the final.
I would have Luka one.
Okay.
I know that you disagree with that because you think Jokic still is.
I would have Jokic one.
Me too.
Because he did win the MVP.
Yeah. He lost to Anthony Edwards.
That's true. Who lost to Luka. Then wouldn't you put a Celtic
number one?
But then
Jaylen Brown would have to be one in that category.
That's why Mike went with Jaylen Brown, Kevin.
This is tough.
Luka's right. He should be in the top three, no matter what.
Okay. I am going to move Luka to number two, and I understand there would be a lot of pushback nationally with that. Because Giannis has struggled recently in the biggest moments. So if I wanted to go Giannis because of more of a complete player defensively and offensively, I also have to look at the lack of success that Giannis had this year in the regular season and in the postseason and move Luka to number two behind Jokic.
By the way, from the 817, that has to be a mistake, right? I did not hear you mention Tim Hardaway Jr. or Dwight Powell. No, you did not.
By the way, I'm assuming that Kyrie is the second one.
That is correct.
And I would have him in the top 25.
Okay.
That's interesting because I was going to think right around 20.
Okay. For Luka, Jokic is number one, Luka is two, and Giannis is three.
Okay.
So it played out like y'all said.
Is Embiid in the top five?
Embiid is not in the top
injuries,
five. He's number six.
Okay.
They put Shai Gilgeous-Alexander four, and then Tatum five.
Dude, Shai was amazing to watch during that playoff.
He was better than I thought. Yeah. Once you played him in six games in the playoffs, I was like, man, they're different players, but I was like, there's not much separation between Luka and Shai, which I thought there was.
There were times, like, I thought you know how Patrick Mahomes was laying down sideways to throw passes in the Super Bowl? There were times where Shai was making shots off balance like that.
He's unbelievable.
How did that happen? And then, you know, the Mavericks were able to overcome it. But he really impressed me a lot.
Here's the top 10 if you want to know, and then I'll give you Kyrie. Yeah. And then I'll point out what I really wanted to talk about in here. Jokic is one, Luka's two, Giannis is three, Shai four, Tatum five, Embiid six, Curry seven, Anthony Edwards eight, Kevin Durant nine, and Anthony Davis 10.
Where was Jaylen Brown?
I was like, they did not give him the playoff credit he deserves.
10. Also, no LeBron in the top 10.
LeBron's out of the top 10 now.
Now,
but he's not out of the top 15, right? He has to be.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. You guys were talking about Kyrie, and y'all were pretty spot on. Kyrie is number 25.
Okay.
So, Mike, you said 20. Corey, you said in the top 25. He's 25.
I could have gone anywhere from 25 to 15.
Okay.
Can you name the five guys, like 20 through 24?
Yes. Yeah. Let's skip down there just a little bit. I can't remember if I just said this out loud or in my brain. Jaylen Brown is 15, in case you wanted to know.
That's too low.
Jamal Murray is 20.
Okay. Totally get it.
Zion, 21.
Not fair because he doesn't play enough.
That. De'Aaron Fox is 22. I think people lose sight of De'Aaron Fox.
He is great.
Really good. Paul George is 23. Okay. And Bam Adebayo is 24.
Okay.
So, for example,
right behind
Kyrie is DeMontis Sabonis at 26.
Okay, yeah, they're all like on that. Hey,
I would put him ahead of Zion.
Probably all-star, but there could be a guy that takes his spot on an all-star team.
I don't know. I'm probably too much of a Paul George apologist. I know what he does whenever playoff time happens, but I really like the length of the play. I like how he fits in with lots of different teams.
I get that.
That's one of the reasons I'm always more like, I think that Paul George deserves to be above him on that, but that's interesting, the growth and leadership Kyrie showed. I wonder if, like, it's a stay. He's been at 25 this whole time.
I think he has upward mobility, and I think if you would have seen more from him in the finals and maybe the beginning of some of these playoff series, I think he could have been higher. Now, here's what I wanted to talk about. Mavericks and the Celtics, because we all love the season that the Mavericks have. We like the talent that they have as well. How many do you think the Celtics have on this list?
Five.
You want a name?
I would probably go.
Drew Holiday's going to be on there. Yes. Porzingis is going to be on there. Derek White, I think, deserves to be in that 85 to 100 category. Okay. No, are we
and
not?
Brown and Tatum are obviously on there.
So Horford's their sixth. So
I was going to say Horford.
Do you think Horford's better than Lively?
I don't.
Agreed.
But I think the NBA has a ton of respect for him.
Yeah, I mean, his longevity and what he is like the glue and the gel to a championship team. I'll go with six. Okay. I'll go if they put six on there.
Al Horford is number 100 on the list to make six Boston Celtics. Okay. And here is where I want to talk about the discrepancy in talent. Although I know it's not only talent that can get you places. Obviously, this group of players meshes incredibly well together. The Mavericks have Luka at 2, and the Celtics have Tatum at 5. So advantage Mavericks, but not as like unbelievable as you might think. The last player on the list is Lively at 97 and Horford at 100. All right, so again, pretty close, right? So pretty close for both. Here's the in-between. Kyrie is 25 for the Mavs. Per the Ringer, and you're going to be shocked by one of these, Derek White is 37. Drew Holiday is 38, KP is 42, and Brown is 15. So that's your comparison to Kyrie. Kyrie's 25, and then you get Brown at 15, White at 37, Holiday at 38, and KP at 42. That's a lot of a discrepancy.
Do you think winning the championship up those guys into the top 50?
I do.
Do you think if the Mavs would have, now we know, pulled a major upset, do you think PJ Washington makes the list if they win the championship?
I mean, if he plays, the plays the
game. Because then they're like, you have four guys in the top 100, that's why you won.
I think I like Derek White more than you do, but I'm not saying 37 does feel high, but I would have had him like at 50.
Okay.
But and maybe I think PJ Washington would be in the. I also think there could be a consideration for Gafford because of how much they use those, how much people consider those two with him and Lively together.
They don't really care too much about injuries on this list.
Nope.
Because
KP and Zion are.
Yeah, and also kind of Embiid.
Yeah, that's true.
I know he won the MVP a year ago, but I mean, if you're really looking at injury history, you'd be like. Like, if you, I would take 10 players to start a franchise, I would take 10 players over Embiid. I know Embiid is going to be better than about four or five of those guys. I don't want to build a team around Embiid because I don't believe he's going to be available enough to win. So, but if you take injuries out of the category, then I probably would agree with you, KP's 42, but in injury situation, I'd be like, he didn't even play in the playoffs, and they easily won.
And here's some of the feedback that you get. And I would be inclined to agree with this person from the 636. Luka would be number one if they would have won the finals. I definitely think there's a strong argument to be made right there.
Because what was the – real quick.
Yeah.
The day after, like, everything looked like it was all starting to fall apart, Kevin.
Yeah.
I don't want to throw you under the bus here.
Oh, I said,
but you did.
I said
come
Jokic
in and you
would
like,
never let this happen.
Best player in the world, my
ass. That's true, and that's the way I feel. I think there is a discernible level between Jokic and Luka. I think Luka has a great argument to be the second best player on the planet. This doesn't happen to Jokic. Like they might lose, but they don't get run like this. And so that's just my opinion, and I hope. That me saying Luka can be the second best player in the NBA is an acceptable opinion. That's just my opinion. But yes, he's right. I did say best player in the NBA, my ass.
To your point, the one thing that separates those two tremendously is Jokic doesn't get rattled by exterior things he can't control. He does not let a referee.
Oh, yeah. So this must have been after game three. I was pretty mad after game three.
Right? Because Luka decided. The refereeing was more important than the basketball game. And He's done that a lot in his career, which Jokic, I'm sure there's, if you follow every Denver game, I'm sure it's happened to him a few times. But it's like, for every 10 times it happens to Luka, it happens once to Jokic.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest difference right there. But what I... And a lot of people are involved in this conversation, and I really...
Can I ask another question? Where was Wimby on this list already?
Where do you think he was?
If you have Derek White at 37, he's over Derek White.
Yep.
So I will go where Kyrie was, and you didn't name him. Okay, I'm going to go too high because I think they're going to look at the expectation of him, and I'll go 18.
17.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that carried over here. There was an audible gasp.
I don't know if I'd have him in the top 20 after year one, but I do think he's going to be in the top 20 after year two.
Yeah.
So I totally get they're kind of giving a little bit. It's kind of like when Shaq made the all 50-year team.
He's played
3 years in the NBA. Like, we don't care. We know he's going to be on a top 50 player. We're doing it now. We're not going to screw him off of this list because he only has 3 or 4 years of being dominant in this league. So I totally get where they have Wimby after year one because he has to be the only player in the top 20 that their team didn't even win 20 games or barely won 20 games
now,
as the best player.
Let me double check, but I think you're right about that. Somebody asked this, where is Brunson on this list?
Jalen Brunson?
Yes, Jalen Brunson.
He should be.
Y'all's reaction to this is going to be
14,
fascinating.
32.
Okay. He is number 11. And so here's the thing about that. I want to compare him to one other player specifically. Do you think Jalen Brunson is better than Jaylen Brown?
No.
And I would be inclined to agree with you there. I would probably swap those two.
Defensively, Jalen Brown, I mean, he just proved it against one of the best offensive players in the game.
Offensively, Brunson's better.
Yeah.
That's why I struggle with the Giannis Luka at two, is I'm like, Giannis can shut down another team at times because of his defense. Luka can't do that at all, but Luka's offensive game is superior to Giannis's offensive
game. That being said, Jalen Brown doesn't carry as much of a load as Brunson does. Brunson carries
that
team.
That is very true. Which has necessitated some of the moves that obviously the Knicks have made in like the last 48 hours. But the big thing that y'all see, that I know you guys already knew this, but I just wanted to point out for people, when we just talk about the talent difference, you've got Lively and Horford. Like, I like Lively better, but I think you can live with them in a similar category. I also think Luka is better than Jason Tatum by a good little bit. But in between that, you have Kyrie versus Brown, White, Holiday, KP. Like, damn. Now, when you look at it like that, you're like, I get why.
I agree with that. I just don't know if you're leading, and I don't know if you are or not, if you're leading towards the Mavs have to get another player in the top 50. I do think Lively can enter that category. I don't know if in year two he can, but he can get to that category. But if you're like this offseason, you need to get a Boston Celtics kind of roster. I don't think it's possible.
I think you're right about that. But then I started to think about your – and I know like some of these specific players aren't available, but like maybe you're looking in the category of Naz Reid or Colin Sexton.
You want to add Naz Reid to
yes,
the team?
I know. Or Colin Sexton or Nick Claxton or something like that. Maybe that's the level of player – and it's a little bit higher than I thought I wanted the Mavericks to get. Like, look, if the Mavericks, like we talked about, you bring back Derrick Jones, you figure it out. Like, I'm going to feel great about this team going into next year. But perhaps if we all know what the end goal is, maybe they do need a little bit of a talent upgrade more
for
than
sure.
I thought. Not a massive one, but a little bit more. All right,
well,
Corey.
Kevin, the Rangers just taught us, don't take what your championship team was and just try and roll it into next season.
Corey, that's a great point. I'm really tired of you guys ending these chunks of segments with sad news for me to consider.
I will add, if we're going to Mike Lysett,
I'll
add to this conversation for a second and then go to a different topic. Besides Lively, does Hardy have the biggest growth potential to make the – does anybody have the potential on the Mavericks to make this list next year?
Okay, you might think my answer is insane. That is exactly what I think, whoever just said that. PJ Washington.
Okay, I think, agree with that.
And I understand if you look at years in the league, it's much easier to argue for Hardy. I just think PJ Washington already has a defined skill set that is very useful. And if he just becomes more consistent with the three, which is not an easy ask, I think he still has potential to
go Max Prosper.
Yeah, I have.
I don't know enough about him, so I think anything that he can add can be dramatic. But
he might be older than Hardy. I think he is older than Hardy. Yeah. But yeah. I just think that, okay, top 100, I hear people yelling out names. Fine. Top 100. But, like, to me, and now I'm going to give my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. He is a little bit boom or bust. Not that he can't play in the league. But we might look at Jaden Hardy a couple years from now as a legitimate sixth man of the year candidate. A dude who's coming off the bench, different style. Obviously, he doesn't have the handles of like a Jamal Crawford or something like that. But a dude who can come off the bench and give you 20.
I'm high on Jaden Hardy, and I'm glad that they were able to use him more in the playoffs than I thought. You know, I thought we got to kind of the brick wall of his playing time. But that didn't end up being the case, and so I was really glad we got to see him more in the playoffs.
I think if you get absolutely nothing for Hardaway or can't trade him for some reason, I do think you have to look at Jaden Hardy as he's going to be our sixth man of the year candidate going into 2024-25. Now, he might be already, but you know, you could make a move here and there and add a piece that makes more sense for that. But I'm not opposed to I'm really not opposed to this. I'm not like, oh, I'm pumped up about it. If the Mavericks literally brought back the exact same team as last year,
yeah,
I am pumped about that team. I think they can make a run again to the NBA Finals, maybe even win it. It would be very difficult, but it would be really fun to see the growth of Josh Green. Can he stay healthy? He's a little Josh Youngish when it comes to the injury thing, too, throughout a season where he's missing half a season, it feels like all the time. So he's got to figure out how to stay healthy. If he wants to grow as a player, it's tough to grow when you have to miss 2 months in the middle of the season to then reset.
You're right about that. Can I ask you about one more player real quick?
Yeah.
Does Tobias Harris do anything for you guys?
I like him. He makes a lot of money.
He does.
So he's an overpaid player, but I do like him. And I think, if you had, I have no clue what you'd have to trade for him, but if you had a starting lineup of Harris and PJ Washington as your wings, that's pretty scary. That's like great.
How much money do you think Tobias Harris makes this year?
32?
39.
Yeah, even more than I thought.
Yeah, but so he's
and he's a $25 million player.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a quality player, but I was just curious because there's been more and more rumblings out there about Tobias Harris, so I just wanted to throw that out there to talk to you about.
Yeah, what's interesting is they can take on more salary.
Yep.
Because they have like $60 million or $50 million of cap space.
They have a max spot, yeah.
So obviously we've heard Paul George possibly taking up all of that money, and I don't know if they'd want to open up more money. It'd be tough for us to open up more money for them. We can take back about 20% more.
Yeah.
I don't know if 20% more. Mark Cuban used to ruin drafts intentionally for 2% more. Thank God he's not running anything anymore that way.
Amen to that.
But let's go to Mike Likes It, as I'm running out of time here. Guys, I don't know about you, but I watch a lot of YouTube when I have my free time to watch stuff, which is not much.
Right.
I click on YouTube and watch different things. One of the things that I've been watching is Bryson DeChambeau. And I found out the other day I was saying it wrong when I said DeChambeau.
It's DeChambeau.
Just the D, not day.
DeChambeau.
Yeah. So when it comes to DeChambeau, he recently, the last few days, put out a video, and I just recommend going and seeing it. If you're a golf fan, you'll like it more. If you're not a golf fan, I still think it's entertaining because he puts out one of those machines that shows how hard he's hitting a golf ball.
Okay.
And he can get it above 210 miles an hour, which is insane.
Good Lord. Yeah,
insane.
Wow.
That's race car driver stuff.
His last one was with Tim Tebow.
Oh, that is weird to think about.
And Tim Tebow has such a muscular swing. You're like, there's no like, you know, hands, like, you know, somebody will say, man, especially in the short game with golfers, they'll say, man, just his hands are amazing because you're not using as much, let's say, strength because you're not trying to hit it 300 plus yards. You're just trying to you're within that kind of 150 yard and in where you're really, you know, that the hands come more into play at times. But Tim Tebow is on there and they are both swinging the living, you know what, out of the club. And seeing how fast you can swing the club. Well, that is really fun to watch. And then afterwards, and then I was wondering about this with DeChambeau, because Tiger got a little bit off track on his career, multiple reasons. But one of them was he decided he wanted to be a Navy SEAL while also being the best golfer in the world.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow takes DeChambeau into the weight room after workout, after hitting the golf balls. And I wonder about this about DeChambeau. He's a pretty big dude, and he was not. When he got on to the tour, he was kind of skinny and not very strong, and he's like, I'm going to get strong, and he has. He's become the strongest golfer, the hardest hitter, longest hitter in the game today, and arguably the best in the game today.
Oh.
I know Scheffler's right there with him.
Say,
I'm not saying
face,
I'm
Scheffler.
Not. I'm not taking – There's not like that Tiger Woods guy right now in the game.
I don't know. I heard Scheffler's putting together a season.
He is. I get it. Sorry. DeChambeau stinks. But
I'm just kidding, Mike.
When it comes to Tim Tebow and the workouts, it was really fun to watch. I have no clue why Tim Tebow is working out this hard.
Just to look
but
good.
But my gosh, is he working out hard. And DeChambeau is going through this workout with him. So I just recommend... I'm going to open up the floor to you guys. I recommend on YouTube, if you're a little bit bored here and there, DeChambeau will play with the worst golf clubs from Walmart and see if he can beat semi-pros. He will then take kids' clubs and see if he can beat you with kids' clubs. That's left-handed clubs and see if he can beat you with... So there's a whole bunch. He puts out A-plus content on YouTube. The last one is with Tim Tebow. I ask you guys now, Kevin first, then Corey. I'll go in opposite alphabetical order.
You're going to get a better answer from Corey, but I'm ready.
All right, Corey, I'm going
to
you.
No.
He lost it. It's my segment.
In your face, Kevin.
Yeah. He said he wasn't giving the A+.
I'll answer the question. You go get Rangers.
Okay. Is there something on YouTube you'd recommend to the audience during this summertime?
On YouTube?
Yeah, on YouTube. On the tube.
I have an answer. See, hold on. He's got to think.
Kevin,
here's my answer.
You're out.
All right.
You're out. You lost.
Okay.
Kevin, you're back in.
Unfortunately, the
Rangers.
Bong that comes up when, you know the noise.
Did you say bong?
The boom, boom. Wow. Not like to smoke out of, man. I need to stop responding to people who are here. But like the kind of the noise, the bong that comes up when YouTube comes on. That's a trigger for Noah to be like, it's time to watch what I want to watch. So all we watch on YouTube is Danny Go or Miss Rachel. If you have kids, check them out. Are we going to the Danny Go concert in a couple weeks? Yes, we are.
Nice.
But like, that's the thing. He knows YouTube. He also likes the song Gangnam Style. But like,
whoa. I have now a new. I like where we're going here.
Damn it! Never mind. I would like to withdraw my
answer. Kevin, you're a big budget guy.
Yes.
How much are these tickets costing for something that your kid will not remember anything about, and I don't even know if he's even going to have that good?
$150 a piece.
They weren't that much, but the final cost was definitely more than $200.
Were you shocked because you used the wrong app? Game Time, you'll
that's
know
true.
The app up front.
Well, no, I didn't order these tickets because you know who's more excited. About going is my wife.
Mm.
Because she's like, should we? She ordered a hat for him. She's got like all the
things. There's going to be zillions of pictures, and I get it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying don't do this, but I can remember when I was in spring training, we took Mary Grace at the time when she was almost three.
I'm with you.
To Disney World. She doesn't remember one second of Disney World. And I spent over $300. And after, you know, after a little bit of time, not like the next day.
Yeah.
But I was like, we spent over $300 so we could take pictures that we went to Disney World that she's not going to remember.
I'm with you. But my wife is psyched so much so, Corey, that she's like, I'm frustrated that I can't find their set list ahead of time. Like, we're going to see the Grateful Dead or something.
It'll be after when that set list is released.
But yeah, she's pumped.
I
so
get it.
We watch kids stuff on YouTube. Right.
So I end up watching concerts. I go watch, you know, old Jimi Hendrix concerts or whatever. Most recently I watched a Counting Crows concert.
Right.
So because I mean there are live shows. I like songs, but I want to see how they do it live compared to the way I hear it on the album.
All right.
And I haven't made it to all these shows in the world because I got stuff to do.
I hear you. Back to me. Okay, so when I watched that 77 Dallas Cowboys NFC Championship game, 78 versus LA.
But then you did the 77, right?
I did, but I only got a little more than halfway through against Minnesota. I have so many Dallas Cowboy games that have popped up on my algorithm, I will
say. Okay, because that's what you're watching, yeah.
So I had no clue how many Cowboy games were on YouTube. So obviously if you watch a lot of Bryson DeChambeau stuff or golf stuff will start coming up. Well, I tell you what, if you want to get into the history of the Cowboys and really watch games where Rodgers playing in big time games, or you want to watch the 90s Cowboys and how great they were, there's plenty of that on YouTube too. And so that's Mike Likes It. I was going to get to something else, but you know what? I have so much content inside of me that I couldn't get it all out.
So it's still stuck in you, is what you're saying?
We ran out of time.
Wow.
Do you ever feel like you need help to get the content out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't stay on time, and I procrastinate. Yeah, and that's and then you're out of time. I don't know. You
Come
should
on,
be going
Daddy.
To break. The corner's next.
Mm. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan Live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine, where I'm almost positive Mike Belize's Corey's Corner is up next.
It's the C block, but still, who belongs in the Home Run Derby, Mike? And I got some more fun audio from, not from Schloss, but about Schloss on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Somebody asked this, where is Brunson on this list?
Jalen Brunson?
Yes, Jalen Brunson. Y'all's reaction to this is going to be 14, fascinating.
32.
Okay. He is number 11. And so here's thing about that. I want to compare him to one other player specifically. Do you think Jalen Brunson is better than Jaylen Brown?
No.
No.
And I would be inclined to agree with you there. I would probably swap those two.
Defensively, Jalen Brown, I mean, he just proved it against one of the best offensive players in the game.
Offensively, Brunson's better.
Yeah.
That's why I struggle with the Giannis Luka at two, is I'm like, Giannis can shut down another team at times because of his defense. Luka can't do that at all, but Luka's offensive game is superior to Giannis's offensive
game. That being said, Jalen Brown doesn't carry as much of a load as Brunson does. Brunson carries
that
team.
That is very true, which is necessitated some of the moves that obviously the Knicks have made in like the last 48 hours. But the big thing that y'all see that, I know you guys already knew this, but I just wanted to point out for people, when we just talk about the talent difference, you've got Lively and Horford. Like, I like Lively better, but I think you can live with them in a similar category. I also think Luka is better than Jason Tatum by a good little bit. But in between that, you have Kyrie versus Brown, White, Holiday, KP. Like, damn. Now, when you look at it like that, you're like, I get why
I agree with that. I just don't know if you're leading, and I don't know if you are or not, if you're leading towards the Mavs have to get another player in the top 50. I do think Lively can enter that category. I don't know if in year two he can, but he can get to that category. But if you're like this offseason, you need to get a Boston Celtics kind of roster. I don't think it's possible.
I think you're right about that. But then I started to think about and I know like some of these specific players aren't available, but like maybe you're looking in the category of Naz Reid or Colin Sexton.
Naz Reid
yes, I know. Or Colin Sexton or Nick Claxton or something like that. Maybe that's the level of player. And it's a little bit higher than I thought I wanted the Mavericks to get. Like, look, if the Mavericks, like we talked about, you bring back Derrick Jones, you figure it out. Like, I'm going to feel great about this team going into next year. But perhaps if we all know what the end goal is, maybe they do need a little bit of a talent upgrade more than I thought. Not a massive one, but a little bit more. All right,
well,
Corey.
Kevin, the Rangers just taught us, don't take what your championship team was and just try and roll it into next season.
Corey, that's a great point. I'm really tired of you guys ending these chunks of segments with sad news for me to consider.
I will add, if we're going to Mike Leisett,
yeah, let's go to Mike Leisett.
I'll add to this conversation for a second and then go to a different topic. Besides Lively, does Hardy have the biggest growth potential to make the – does anybody have the potential on the Mavericks to make this list next year?
Okay, you might think my answer is insane. That is exactly what I think, whoever just said that. PJ Washington.
Okay, I think, agree with that.
And I understand if you look at years in the league, it's much easier to argue for Hardy. I just think PJ Washington already has a defined skill set that is very useful. And if he just becomes more consistent with the three, which is not an easy ask, I think he still has potential to go
there. Max Prosper.
Yeah, I have.
I don't know enough about him, so I think anything that he can add can be dramatic. But
He might be older than Hardy. I think he is older than Hardy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just think that, okay, top 100, I hear people yelling out names. Fine. Top 100. But, like, to me, and now I'm going to give my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. He is a little bit boom or bust. Not that he can't play in the league. But we might look at Jaden Hardy a couple years from now as a legitimate sixth man of the year candidate. A dude who's coming off the bench, different style. Obviously, he doesn't have the handles of like a Jamal Crawford or something like that. But a dude who can come off the bench and give you 20.
I'm high on Jaden Hardy, and I'm glad that they were able to use him more in the playoffs than I thought. You know, I thought we got to kind of the brick wall of his playing time. But that didn't end up being the case, and so I was really glad we got to see him more in the playoffs.
I think if you get absolutely nothing for Hardaway or can't trade him for some reason, I do think you have to look at Jaden Hardy as he's going to be our sixth man of the year candidate going into 2024-25. Now, he might be already, but you know, you could make a move here and there and add a piece that makes more sense for that. But I'm not opposed to if the... I'm really not opposed to this. I'm not like, oh, I'm pumped up about it. If the Mavericks literally brought back the exact same team as last year,
yeah,
I am pumped about that team. I think they can make a run again to the NBA Finals, maybe even win it. It would be very difficult, but it would be really fun to see the growth of Josh Green. Can he stay healthy? He's a little Josh Youngish when it comes to the injury thing, too, throughout a season where he's missing half a season, it feels like all the time. So he's got to figure out how to stay healthy. If he wants to grow as a player, it's tough to grow when you have to miss 2 months in the middle of the season to then reset.
You're right about that. Can I ask you about one more player real quick?
Yeah.
Does Tobias Harris do anything for you guys?
I like him. He makes a lot of money.
He does.
So he's an overpaid player, but I do like him. And I think, yeah, if you had, I have no clue what you'd have to trade for him, but if you had a starting lineup of Harris and PJ Washington as your wings, that's pretty scary. That's like great.
How much money do you think Tobias Harris makes this year?
32?
39.
Yeah, even more than I thought.
Yeah, but so he's...
And he's a $25 million player.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a quality player, but I was just curious because there's been more and more rumblings out there about Tobias Harris, so I just wanted to throw that out there to talk to you about.
Yeah, what's interesting is they can take on more salary.
Yep.
Because they have like $60 million or $50 million of cap space.
They have a max spot, yeah.
So obviously we've heard Paul George possibly taking up all of that money, and I don't know if they'd want to open up more money. It would be it'd be tough for us to open up more money for them. We can take back about 20 more percent.
Yeah,
I don't know if 20 more percent. Mark Cuban used to ruin drafts intentionally for 2 more percent. Thank God he's not running anything anymore that way.
Amen to that.
But let's go to Mike Likes It, as I'm running out of time here. Guys, I don't know about you, but I watch a lot of YouTube when I have my free time to watch stuff, which is not much.
Right.
I click on YouTube and watch different things. One of the things that I've been watching is Bryson DeChambeau. And I found out the other day I was saying it wrong when I said DeChambeau.
It's DeChambeau.
Just the D. Not day.
DeChambeau.
Yeah. So, when it comes to DeChambeau, he recently, the last few days, put out a video, and I just recommend going and seeing it. If you're a golf fan, you'll like it more. If you're not a golf fan, I still think it's entertaining because he puts out one of those machines that shows how hard he's hitting a golf ball. Okay. And he can get it above 210 miles an hour, which is insane.
Good Lord. Yeah,
insane.
Wow.
That's race car driver stuff.
His last one was with Tim Tebow.
Oh, that is weird to think
and
about.
And Tim Tebow has such a muscular swing. You're like, there's no like, you know, hands, like, you know, somebody will say, man, especially in the short game with golfers, they'll say, man, just his hands are amazing because you're not using as much, let's say, strength because you're not trying to hit it 300 plus yards. You're just trying to you're within that kind of 150 yard and in where you're really, you know, that the hands come more into play at times. But Tim Tebow is on there and they are both swinging the living, you know what, out of the club. And seeing how fast you can swing the club. Well, that is really fun to watch. And then afterwards, and then I was wondering about this with DeChambeau, because Tiger got a little bit off track on his career, multiple reasons. But one of them was he decided he wanted to be a Navy SEAL while also being the best golfer in the world.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow takes DeChambeau into the weight room after workout, after hitting the golf balls. And I wonder about this about DeChambeau. He's a pretty big dude, and he was not. When he got on to the tour, he was kind of skinny and not very strong, and he's like, I'm going to get strong, and he has. He's become the strongest golfer, the hardest hitter, longest hitter in the game today, and arguably the best in the game today.
Oh.
I know Scheffler's right there with him.
Say,
I'm not saying
face,
I'm not taking – There's not like that Tiger Woods guy right now in the game. There's
I don't know. I heard Scheffler's putting together a season.
He is. I get it. Sorry. DeChambeau stinks. But
I'm just kidding, Mike.
When it comes to Tim Tebow and the workouts, it was really fun to watch. I have no clue why Tim Tebow is working out this hard.
Just to look
but
good.
But my gosh, is he working out hard. And DeChambeau is going through this workout with him. So I just recommend... I'm going to open up the floor to you guys. I recommend on YouTube, if you're a little bit bored here and there, DeChambeau will play with the worst golf clubs from Walmart and see if he can beat semi-pros. He will then take kids' clubs and see if he can beat you with kids' clubs. Left-handed clubs and see if he can beat you with... So there's a whole bunch. He puts out A-plus content on YouTube. The last one is with Tim Tebow. I ask you guys now, Kevin first, then Corey. I'll go in opposite alphabetical order.
You're going to get a better answer from Corey, but I'm ready.
All right, Corey, I'm going
to
you.
No.
He lost it. It's my segment.
In your
he just
face,
lost
Kevin.
It.
Yeah.
He said he wasn't giving the A+.
I'll give answer the question. You go get Rangers.
Okay. Is there something on YouTube you'd recommend to the audience during this summertime?
On YouTube?
Yeah, on YouTube. On the tube.
I have an answer. See, hold on. He's got to think.
Kevin,
here's my answer.
You're out.
All right.
You're out. You lost.
Okay.
Kevin, you're back in.
Unfortunately, the
Rangers.
Bong that comes up when, you know, the noise.
Did you say bong?
The boom, boom. Wow. Not like to smoke out of, man. I need to stop responding to people who are here. But like the kind of the noise, the bong that comes up when YouTube comes on. That's a trigger for Noah to be like, it's time to watch what I want to watch. So all we watch on YouTube is Danny Go or Miss Rachel. If you have kids, check them out. Are we going to the Danny Go concert in a couple weeks? Yes, we are.
Nice.
But like, that's the thing. He knows YouTube. He also likes the song Gangnam Style. But like,
whoa. I have now a new. I like where we're going here.
Damn it! Never mind. I would like to withdraw my
Kevin,
answer.
Kevin, you're a big budget guy.
Yes.
How much are these tickets costing for something that your kid will not remember anything about, and I don't even know if he's even going to have that good
$150
time?
Bucks a piece.
They weren't that much, but the final cost was definitely more than $200.
Were you shocked because you used the wrong app? Game Time, you'll That's know
true.
The app up front.
Well, no, I didn't order these tickets because you know who's more excited about going is my wife.
Mm.
Because she's like, should we? She ordered a hat for him. She's got like all the
There's going to be zillions of pictures, and I get it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying don't do this, but I can remember when I was in spring training, we took Mary Grace at the time when she was almost three.
I'm with you.
To Disney World. She doesn't remember one second of Disney World. And I spent over $300. And after, you know, after a little bit of time, not like the next day.
Yeah.
But I was like, we spent over $300 so we could take pictures that we went to Disney World that she's not going to remember.
I'm with you. But my wife is psyched, so much so, Corey, that she's like, I'm frustrated that I can't find their set list ahead of time. Like, we're going to see the Grateful Dead or something.
It'll be after when that set list is released.
But yeah, she's pumped.
I get it.
We watch kids stuff on YouTube. Right.
So I end up watching concerts. I go watch, you know, old Jimi Hendrix concerts or whatever. Most recently I watched a Counting Crows concert.
Right.
So there are live shows. I like songs, but I want to see how they do it live compared to the way I hear it on the album.
All right.
And I haven't made it to all these shows in the world because I got stuff to do.
I hear you. Back to me. Okay, so when I watched that 77 Dallas Cowboys NFC Championship game, 78 versus
LA. But
then
you did the 77, right?
I did, but I only got a little more than halfway through against Minnesota. I have so many Dallas Cowboy games that have popped up on my algorithm, I will
say. Okay, because that's what you're watching, yeah.
So I had no clue how many Cowboy games were on YouTube. So obviously if you watch a Bryson DeChambeau, a lot of Bryson DeChambeau stuff or golf stuff will start coming up. Well, I tell you what, if you want to get into the history of the Cowboys and really watch games where Rodgers playing in big time games, or you want to watch the 90s Cowboys and how great they were, there's plenty of that on YouTube too. And so that's Mike Likes It. I was going to get to something else, but you know what? I have so much content inside of me that I couldn't get it all out.
So it's still stuck in you, is what you're saying?
We ran out of time.
Wow.
Do you ever feel like you need help to get the content out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't stay on time, and I procrastinate. Yeah, and then you're out of time. I don't know. You
Come
should
on,
be going
Daddy.
To break. The corner's next.
Mm. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine, where I'm almost positive Mike believes Corey's Corner is up next.
It's the C block, but still, who belongs in the Home Run Derby, Mike? And I got some more fun audio from, not from Schloss, but about Schloss next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.